الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home. It is this part of the year that generally most of the people go on a holiday, some vacation. Many people have left already, many are leaving for Umrah. May Allah accept the Umrah, make it be easy and asan. May Allah take all of us for Umrah and Hajj with the afiyat and acceptance. But generally this is the time of the year. Schools are closed, factories are closed. People take a break. And of course, to take a break, to give your body some rest, there's nothing wrong in Shariat, to relax your mind, to take your family out somewhere. The only thing is that when we're taking a break, we don't break any laws of Sharia. Safar, journey. There are chapters written, ahadith that have been compiled on the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their etiquettes, their adab, their manners, their sunnats, their du'as. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it is reported in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yuhibbu an yakhruja yawm al-khamis. He would like, it was his sunnah, it was his practice, whenever he embarked on any journey, he would leave on a Thursday. Now this is not compulsory. We can leave whichever day is convenient for us, according to our plan. But the sunnah of Rasulullah, what he liked was, and he would come out generally on a Thursday, on any safar. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned a dua. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Wallah, bless my ummah, give my ummah barakah in the early hours of the morning, in whatever journey the person has to undertake, for whatever reason, whatever purpose. Of course, person should not go on a journey of ma'asi, of sin, vice, evil, towards some haram place. We're talking about a safar, which is mabah, which is permissible. Like we said, taking a family for a break, person going for Hajj and Umrah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged that the person leave his home in the early hours of the morning. One will find in the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam great effects that he said, "Oh Allah, bless my ummah in the early hours of the morning of the ummah." Whenever he would dispatch any jamaat or any army, then it used to be in the early part of the morning. The Sahabi by the name of Sakhr bin Wada'a radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to dispatch his trade caravans. He would send his people to do business in the early hours of the morning. And he would say that he would gain so much of profits, and he would see the barakah of doing business in the early hours of the morning. To such an extent, فَكَثُرَ مَالُهُ, he became very wealthy. His wealth began to increase. So even on a safar, Rasulullah ﷺ has encouraged the person leave early hours of the morning. When we are traveling, a person should not travel alone, because then he'll be accompanied by shaitan. In one hadith in Bukhari, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned, لو يعلم الناس ما أعلم ما صار راكب بليل وحده. If the people only know the harms of traveling alone at night that I know, that Allah has informed me of, the dangers, the inconvenience, the consequences at times of traveling alone, especially at night, then no person will travel alone. So we travel with company, and of course we choose good company. When we travel, even with the family, one person should be the Amir. The father becomes the Amir, or the elder brother, the elder son. There is a lot of good in this. If there is any problem, or we need to make some decision, then the Amir will make mashwara, and he will make a decision. Allah's help comes when we have a group traveling together, and when they have appointed an Amir. If there is no Amir appointed, then everybody will make his own decision. And if it is a business journey or any other journey, then the person can have problems because we'll have difference of opinions. Somebody will say, let's leave now. Somebody say, later on. Somebody say, we'll eat now. Somebody say, we'll read Salat now. But if the Amir sits down, he makes a decision, we'll find there'll be a lot of unity. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would embark on a journey, and these are things that we should bring into our lives. If you're not traveling this holiday, then sometime in the year we are traveling. And of course, at this very moment, every one of us is a musafir. The journey that we undertake in the world, the travels, whether it is Hajj, Umrah, going to the three harams, or no holiday, whether we're going to Cape Town, Johannesburg, or overseas, this great lesson, it reminds us of the true journey, and that is the journey towards the hereafter. There are striking resemblances. If you compare this journey that we undertake when you go for a holiday, some vacation, with the real journey towards the akhirat. And inshallah we'll discuss that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would first read Bismillah. He would say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then he would read the verse that I recited in the beginning. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all type of defects. Allah is perfect. Allah is pure. Allah has no shortcomings. Allah has no deficiencies. That is the meaning of subhana. Subhanallah. We say glory be to Allah, which means Allah has no deficiencies, shortcomings. Allah has no naqais, no uyub, no defects whatsoever. Allah is absolutely pak and pure. And He is the one who has made this transport, whether it's an animal, whether it's a vehicle, whether we're going by plane or train or ship. Allah has made this subservient to us. Allah has created, Allah has given man the intellect to create these modes of transport. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. We were unable to undertake this journey on our own. We were unable to ride this animal on our own. We are unable to even move in this vehicle, this car, on our own. It is only through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us the ability to undertake this journey. And the verse ends with وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And indeed, we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama and mufassirin have explained, as I mentioned previously, that we are perhaps going on a journey in this world, moving to a destination. But in reality, Allah is reminding us that don't forget you're a musafir in this world. And your ultimate goal is the hereafter. You're moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ, that we are the travelers, and surely we will return to our Rabb. One day we will have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take a lesson as we are traveling. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim first. Then we read this verse. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to some narration, he would say Alhamdulillah 3 times. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminds us, generally when a person is on a journey, he leaves his home. So there is this tendency. It's not in all cases, but generally we feel more relaxed. And we feel some type of freedom. And when this happens, then we may become laxed in the manner in which we behave, the manner in which we conduct ourselves, in our ibadat, in our dhikr, our tilawat. Yes, namaz will be made easy for us on the safar, musafir masala, namaz is made half, of course, with the explanation. And sometimes you may not be able to accomplish that type of ibadat that you do at home. But this does not give us any license, any justification to become oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Right in the beginning of the journey, we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar 3 times. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite adwa, Subhanaka inni zhulamtu nafsi dhunnan kathira. Oh Allah, I have oppressed myself very greatly. I have committed major sins in my life. I have disobeyed you. Wala yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And there is no other person who can forgive my sins besides you. These are the du'as Rasulullah read. And then he would smile. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? He says, I am smiling. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so pleased with that traveler who has recited these du'as. And especially the one that we mentioned in the end, that, oh Allah, I've committed many sins, big sins, major sins. I've made a lot of zulam upon myself. And there's nobody who can forgive besides you. Allah becomes so happy. He says, my banda has realized that there's nobody else besides myself who can forgive him. On that, Allah becomes happy with the person. There are many other du'as that Rasulullah would recite. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa wa min al-amali ma tarda. Again, oh Allah, we ask you, we beseech you, that in this journey of ours, we're going for a holiday, we're taking a break, taking our family for a holiday, we're going to rest. Ya Allah, but we ask you to give us birr. What does it mean of birr? Birr means al-khair, goodness in this journey. Give us the tawfiq of amal, of doing our actions, good actions in this, on this journey. At-taqwa. Ya Allah, give us taqwa on this journey. We must not become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must not become lax in our salat and make our namaz qada. At home, mashallah, we are reading 5 times salat. But on a journey, especially when you are traveling by plane, ulama have made it so easy for us. We have the masail are there, how to recite our salat. Give us no reason to discard our salat. Imagine people going for Hajj and Umrah. Flight is full of passengers going to Haramain Sharifain. Even then we find that people discard the salat. And of course, when we are traveling by plane, and especially with the demarcated areas in certain flights for performing salat, then we should not read lengthy, lengthy salat. Then you don't need your nafil and awabin and your chash and tahajjud and ishraq and show how pious you are. Then you read your salat quickly because there are so many others who would like to read salat. Especially our ladies. Very common. Once they get that place to read salat, there's no end. People are waiting. Namaz will become qaza. They're reading all the nawafil, maybe qaza, namaz and nawafil and whatever. Now this is Sharia teaches us balance. Sharia is so simple, so beautiful. Be considerate of so many other people who want to read the salat. Nonetheless, when we are traveling, then this is the dua. Oh Allah, we ask you for taqwa. and give us those actions. Make us do those actions, perform those actions that will make you happy, that you'll become pleased with. Then in one dua, Rasulullah says, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min wa'tha'i safar, wa ka'abatil mandar, wa su'il munqalabi fil mali wal ahli wal walad. Wallah, we seek your protection from wa'tha'i safar. The word wa'tha means difficulties, the shada'id of safar. In one hadith, Rasulullah says, the meaning of which is that safar is not easy. When a person undergoes a journey, he's not going to get that type of comfort which he normally enjoys at home. The food will be different. Accommodation is different. The traveling, sometimes it's hot whilst you are traveling. Sometimes the aircon is not working. It's a long journey. It's a tedious journey. People become tired. So Rasulullah says, O Allah, we seek your protection from a journey which is full of difficulties. In other words, make Allahumma hawwin alayna hadha safar. O Allah, make this journey easy for us. Make it be asan for us. Watwi'anna bu'da. O Allah, the distance, it's a few hours journey. It's a long journey. Make the journey shorter for us. This is a simple explanation. That distance which will take us so long normally, of course it doesn't mean you must speed, but Allah will give you such a swift journey that you don't even feel that this journey was so long. You do not get tired in this journey. And Allah protect me from difficulties in this journey. And waka'abatil manzar. And in those scenes which will dispirit me, which will cause me to become grieved, which will sadden me. Perhaps a person is traveling. He sees a very terrible accident on the way. Body parts thrown on the road. An entire family wiped out. Allah give us afiyat, Allah protect us. So imagine when a person is going for a holiday and he sees these type of scenes. Or he sees a murder scene. It puts him off. So Allah, we seek your protection from waka'abatil mandar, from those scenes that will cause us pain and grief. Wasu'il munqalab. And Allah, when I'm going to return, when I'm going to go back home, person is gone for business journey. He's left behind his family and children. He's left behind his parents. Wallah, when I return home, don't make the return be an evil one where I will see people that I left behind. Somebody has become very ill. Somebody met with an accident. Somebody in pain or suffering. Ya Allah, when I go back home, I must see the conditions are good. Therefore, in one dua, walhawri ba'd al-kawr. Ya Allah, after you have given me an increase, don't decrease me. After you have given me plentiful, don't let there be any decrease after making this journey. But give me more barakah. So when I go back home, I'm happy to see my family. They are not in difficulties. They're not in pain. They're not in any, they're not suffering. وَسُوءِ الْمُنْقَلَبِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْأَهْلِ وَالْوَلَدِ. There must be no loss of property, no loss of wealth, no loss in my family members. So these are some of the du'as Rasulullah read. And in one of the du'a, Allahumma anta as-sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. And this is a very important du'a. And it will give us a lot of strength to remain on the straight path, to save ourselves from haram whilst on journey. And if we just take back home this two words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever we're traveling, Allahumma o Allah, anta sahibu fi safar. You are the companion. You are my companion on this journey. Now imagine if Allah is your companion on the journey, would anybody dare commit any sin? When you have this realization, when you realize that Allah is my companion, if your father is traveling with you, your ustad is traveling with you, your sheikh is traveling with you, you are moving the same vehicle, he's sitting next to you, would you dare commit any sin? No. Here Allah is saying, in the dua, Rasulullah is saying, Allahumma anta sahib, you are my companion. Therefore, this should be a deterrent from committing sins, because you're reminding yourself all the time, my Allah is watching, Allahumma anta sahib, he is my companion on this journey. Wal khalifatu fil ahl. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to look after my family. Allah is going to look after my property in my absence. He is my Khalifa. He is my vicegerent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after my property. Allah will look after my family. So you entrust all your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when any person would embark on a journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would bid him farewell, not only for Umrah and Hajj. He's going on a journey. He's going on some business journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would bid him farewell. He would walk with him, give him some advice. And then Rasulullah would make dua for him. In one hadith, زَوَّدَكَ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى. When a person is traveling, he needs some provisions. So what is the provision Rasulullah is saying that you must carry with you on the journey? Take with you taqwa. May Allah give you the provision of taqwa. وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ. May Allah forgive your sins. وَيَسَّرَ لَكَ الْخَيْرِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. May Allah make good for you, khair, barakat for you, wherever you're going to go. Many, many other du'as have been mentioned. Of course, the kitabs, they are full of du'as. We read so many kitabs, we purchase these kitabs. They are not for just decorating our bookshelves. Pick up those kitabs, especially when you are going on a journey. Read the adab of undertaking a journey. Read the etiquette. See the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we mentioned in the beginning of this talk. Try and imbibe these sunnahs, which apparently have become dead now. We have to bring alive these sunnahs. Then we will see a barakat in our lives. We'll see our journeys becoming prosperous. We'll gain barakat in our journey. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, there are benefits, five benefits when a person undertakes a journey. Tafriju hammin. When a person is traveling, he comes out of his normal routine. And we know our at home, at work, the work, the efforts that we are making, the different type of problems. Person becomes depressed at times. He becomes stressed at times. He just wants a break. He wants to relax his mind. He's full of hum and gham and worry and sorrow and grief and misery. So when a person undertakes a journey, he leaves his home environment. He takes a break with his family. Tasriju hammin. Now he gets some happiness. This hum is now removed from him. This worry that he normally had, he forgets all these problems. Now he relaxes his brains, he relaxes his body. And waqtisabu ma'isha. Sometimes when a person takes a journey, of course, very common, people go to China and Dubai and many other places. When a person finds it is difficult, his business is not thriving. He's tried every effort, every halal way. Now he needs to go a little bit out. And when he goes out on a journey, and then also, with this niyat of getting some livelihood, Imam Shafi Ramadhu said, this is also another benefit of going on a journey. Then of course, when we're traveling, we're going to broaden our knowledge. وَعِلْمٍ وَآدَاب. We're going to meet different types of people. We will learn the culture of other people living in the world. We will interact with people. We will see the good way, or we will take some good points that we can learn from their life. And of course, we have iman, we have sunnah in our life. So we will interact with people, we will show them that we are reading salat. And the manner in which we behave on the road or whilst traveling, we will be courteous and polite. We will talk in a gentle manner. We will talk in a polite manner. We will not be rude and harsh to people. We will not show our anger on the road. Road rage. But we will forgive people. We will overlook. So we will learn manners and etiquettes. We will broaden our knowledge. We will meet ulama-i kiram. Who sees when you're going for a holiday en route, you can't meet some ulama, mashayikh, go to some dini program, get the du'as of the elderly ones, their family people living, go and visit them. And the fifth one, he said, was suhbatu majidin. We will gain the company of good people. We will meet some people. It's amazing. Whilst traveling, somebody's gone overseas and we meet up with some people. And as you get talking to the person, you think perhaps he's from another part of the world. And as you discuss with him, he says, no, I live in Overport. Where about in Overport you live? You get shocked. First time you're seeing this person. He says, I'm living in Asheville. Then you realize if you're the imam of the masjid, you don't know the people in your own masjid. Allah forgive us. But then you come to know, hey, you just stay just two doors away from me. So through the safar, through the journey, we begin to meet so many people. And what do we say? This world is so small. We are just like one family. So we have suhbatu majidin. Of course, when you are traveling, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنًا. Rasul says that when you are traveling, your comrade, your traveling partner should be a believer. Somebody who will remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one who will make you ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who is worried about his salat, his punctual with his ibadat. He will not just be vulgar and rude and abusive and immoral and immodest and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned in the beginning, we take an ibrat, we take a lesson. When we undertake journeys, it should remind us of the journey of the akhirat. When a person travels, I said, leave early part of the morning. Or if he has to leave in the night, then Rasulullah says, they should leave early hours of the evening. Don't leave late at night. مَنْ خَافَ أَدْلَجَ وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ Person has to leave at night. Don't leave late part of the night. Leave in the early hours of the evening. Why? That person leaves early part of the evening, بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ He will reach his destination. And what is our destination for the akhirah? أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةٌ This merchandise, this thing that we are buying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this product is very precious. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ And what you are purchasing from Allah, we are purchasing Jannah, paradise. So you know, we will not procrastinate in this journey towards the akhirah. We are already moving. But just as a person travels, he has an itinerary, he has a plan. He has a map. And of course now we don't use maps, we use the garment. So he has some sense of direction. He knows where what his destination is. Brothers, we are moving towards akhirat. This akhirat is our destination. This is the final abode, final stop. If this is not our qibla, if this is not our direction, we're moving some other way, then how will we reach our destination? When the person is traveling, then as I said, he's got somebody who is directing him. He knows his way. If he's lost, he will check his garment. And of course, the garments that we have today, many times they are faulty. It takes us through another whole route and causes so much of frustration. Sometimes it becomes very dangerous. But the person who has made out and chalked out this path, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a guide for humanity, that is the best roads, the most safest of all roads, and the easiest of all roads, and the only road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our leader. Look at his life. We will never go astray. Follow that path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which Rasulullah has shown us. Then there will be, we have to be cautious that no person must attack us. There will be no thieves. When we are stopping somewhere, we are very careful that we lock up our car. We even put the alarm on. We are checking our car. Brothers, in the road towards akhirat, I don't have time to expound on this. But there are many things on this road, like how we have in this world, that are ready to attack us. In this road towards akhirat is nafs and shaitan. Don't get caught into the traps of nafs and shaitan. While traveling, making safar, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentioned, when he first came to South Africa, and he was traveling with some person, and he says, we were moving in such a place where there was no person to be seen. Roads were absolutely empty. There were no policemen, nothing. And I watch every time we come to a end of the street, the person stops, looks right, looks left, without much effort, he sees, and then he goes across, he says, I found this a bit strange. Of course, coming from Karachi, and we know the traffic there. And after some time, I asked the person, what's going on? I don't see any person. Why do you stop at the end of the road? He said, no, this is the rule. This is a regulation, traffic regulation. And even though there's no car coming, I got to look right and left, and then I got to cross. Mufti Taqi Sahib was amazed. He said, mashallah, we need to implement this in our place. So all of us do it unwittingly. We're so accustomed, so prone to, when we travel, we stop at the stop street. I don't know about our youngsters today. We stop at the red robot. We will check if there are any cameras. We make sure that we follow the regulations, the speed limit. We don't exceed the speed limit. Like that, there are speed limits in Shariat also. There are road signs, there are signs that we have to obey. We have to put our seat belt. We have to fasten ourselves sometimes. Maybe we feel a bit restricted. But this is a law of Shariat. There's hikmah, there's wisdom behind this. My respected brothers and sisters, we can go on in comparing the journeys we have in this world towards the ultimate and the real journey. And that is the journey of the Akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to reach Allah Rabbul Izzat in a very easy way. Therefore, in one hadith, and we terminate, Rasulullah giving, explaining to the Sahaba that one should not exceed the limits. Don't go beyond the limits of Shariat. Even when a person is trying to do some good amal, don't overdo it. Why? What will happen? You'll do it for a few days, and then you'll lose all the josh and exuberance, and suddenly you'll become flat, you become lazy, and you will discard that action. There's moderation in Shariat also. In our amal also there's moderation. And you don't take the extreme that we become so lax and we don't do that action at all. Take the middle path. Saddidu wa qaribu. Go with steadfastness. Go towards the middle road, Rasulullah has mentioned. Keep on the middle road. And then he says, waghdu wa ruhu wa shay'un min adulja. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, some parts of the night, these are different hours during the day when a person is instructed to engage in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-qasda, al-qasda. Be moderate. Go carefully. Tablughu. You will reach your destination. And the explanation is given just as a frequent traveler. A person who is skillful. Al-musafir, al-hadiq. One who is skillful. He is a frequent traveler. He knows his whole plan. He knows his itinerary. He knows what speed he must travel. He knows where the traps are. He knows the roads. He knows his destination. He's a master traveler. He will travel certain parts of the day and certain places he will take a rest. He will take a break because he has planned himself. And very easily, without much effort, he reaches his destination in a similar manner. We have amal, we have taqwa, we have sabr, we have shukr, we have qanaat, we make tawbah, we make istighfar, and slowly, gradually we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make both the safar, those who are going on journey, please be mindful. Allahumma anta as-sahibu fi safar. Oh Allah, you are my companion on this journey. Therefore, this is sufficient a deterrent to commit gunas. Allah will protect us, and don't forget the safar towards the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.